If you've been called a nobody, then you qualify to be a champion. If you've been called insignificant, then you qualify to be a champion.
Taking what the world would call unimportant or insignificant, God uses those things to reveal His glory. Join Jeremy Pearsons and Jerry Savelle as they reveal how God can use each of us in His kingdom on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons, and I've been in all this week for my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and I hope you've enjoyed so far what you've seen. If you haven't seen any broadcasts this week, you need to go back and get on kcm.org, find out what you've missed, and get caught up with us. Stay tuned. There's some great things coming up. We have had the privilege and the honor to be sitting around the Word of God all this week with Dr. Jerry Savelle. Sir, thank you so much for being a part of these broadcasts this week,
and
I'm looking forward to where we're going. You have brought some wonderful insight, not only in these last few days, but I'm talking 40 years of relationship and partnership with Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth and Gloria in this ministry. The ministries have been close. You guys, as friends, have been close over the years. And y'all have seen some amazing,
you've seen some amazing
things together. I think if there's anything I, and I use this word lightly, envy about when I watch men like you and my grandfather, and I learn so much from the inside into the Word, but man, you guys have some awesome preaching stories.
Oh, we do.
I used to sit around with my friends and think, are we ever going to have these kinds of stories? I mean, are we going to get to see these kinds of things? Because it's the stories, there's stories that make us laugh and cry. But man, when we look at somebody's life like yours and we see what you share in your book, Called to Battle, Destined to Win, and the heartbeat of your ministry is look what God can do with somebody who had nothing and knew nothing and was nothing by your own admission.
Nobody.
Look at what He can do with just somebody who's willing. We've talked a lot about that through this week, but you stepped up to the plate. Men like you, my grandfather, different ones that have really pioneered and pressed through some ground for little guys like me coming up. We thank you so much for what you've done and what you've seen and said and experienced.
And we see you guys taking it to the next level.
Well, we're excited to do it. And we couldn't have done it, though. And nobody can do anything without first recognizing those who've gone in front of you.
Well, you know, and you stop and think about it, Jeremy. When, of course, your grandfather had been in this 2 years when I came in contact with him. So, and talk about pioneering. I mean, those were pioneering days. You have to understand that when I joined your grandfather's ministry and we were traveling around America preaching the Word of Faith, there was no such term as Word of Faith Church in those days.
Yeah.
And, you know, a handful of people who were preaching this uncompromising word. But to see to where it's grown and to see men like yourself come up and take the reins and bring on the next generation of faith people, that's exciting. And to be a part of that has really been an honor for me.
Well, the thing is, I think people think that Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin or Jerry Savelle, that one of you guys invented Word of Faith. Paul said it. It's a
Paul
scripture.
Jesus preached it.
Crying
David
out loud.
Lived it, you know?
And that's what we're talking about this week. I mean, everything I've ever heard you guys say, there's scripture and verse for it, you know. And people use that as a challenge. Well, show me scripture and verse. Okay, you know, here it is.
How much time you got?
And there's, I'll give you 3 or 5 or 10 of them. And and that's what you've been talking to us about this week. This call to battle and our destiny to win the battle we're called to. And it's about experiencing God's breakthrough power in our lives. And there's been some powerful things already said this week in these broadcasts. Go back and listen to what you've missed, if you've missed any of it. But you've introduced us to a new way of thinking. And it's biblical principles. It's scriptural foundation, a new way of thinking and living and approaching life. And we've talked about stepping up to the challenge instead of running away from it, rise in the face of it.
Yeah.
And we've got into something over the last couple of days and seeing you how God sees you,
right?
Because that's the truth. And man, we've been into some powerful things here. Thank you so much for bringing this to us. What's on your heart as we continue to study these things?
Well, the thing that I'm impressed of the Lord to talk about today in particular and to emphasize is your grandfather's story, my story, should bring hope to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, we did not have the pedigree, the credentials, as it were,
yeah,
to become the winners that God has made us. And I emphasize that God has made us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not doing this
not
in our own might, our
yeah,
own strength, our own wisdom. You know, that was one of the things that caused me to be able to identify with your grandfather back there 40 years ago after hearing his testimony of, you know, the things that he went through in his life, mm-hmm, and the failures that he experienced and, you know, the mindset that he had before he came to Christ.
Yeah.
I thought, well, if God can do that with him, he can do that with me, because
yeah,
his story sounded very similar to mine as far as the way we were living life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't a pilot like he was, and I wasn't a singer like he was, but all the other stuff that he went through,
yeah,
and his mindsets and his lack of discipline and
yeah,
and you know, just this failing mentality, that sounded just like me. And after I heard his story and him walking me through the Word of God in his sermon of how he got to where he was through the Word of God, it brought a hope for me that I can do this,
mm-hmm,
that if it'll work for him, it'll work for me. And my story is, if it'll work for me, it'll work for anybody that's
absolutely
watching this broadcast,
sure,
you know. One of the scriptures that I want to bring up today is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1,
mm-hmm,
and it's verses 26 through 29. I'll read a portion of it, but there's two other translations that I really want to get to, the New Berkeley Version and the Amplified Version. And what these scriptures simply tell us this: your background has nothing to do with whether or not you can become the champion
yeah,
God wants you to be. So I want to say that to the audience. Your background has nothing to do with whether or not you can become the champion that God's called you to be. Makes no difference the color of your skin. Makes no difference of what side of town you grew up on. Makes no difference who your parents were. Makes no difference whether you're highly educated or not educated.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Christ that makes the difference.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to this scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now, listen to the New Berkeley Version. God also has chosen the world's insignificant and despised and nobodies,
mm-hmm,
in order to bring to nothing those who amount to something, so that nobody may boast in the presence of God.
Yeah.
Now, notice, God has chosen what the world considers to be insignificant. That was me. I saw myself as this little guy out on North Market Avenue, Shreveport, Louisiana, in a little metal building with Jerry's Paint and Body Shop written across it. And I'm this little insignificant nobody out there. How could God possibly use me? How could I ever become a champion? You know, how could I ever become a winner? I was wondering how I could ever become a good husband, a good father, or a good manager. You know, just how could I possibly become a champion? But when I read this verse, that God takes what the world considers to be insignificant, God takes what the world considers to be despised,
mm-hmm,
and God takes what the world considers to be a nobody. When I saw that word nobody, I said, I am a candidate. Man,
yeah,
this can work for me. And then it says in the Amplified Version, and God also selected, deliberately chose, what in the world is lowborn. Man, you talk about identifying with that. I thought, I'm as low as it gets.
Yeah.
But God can take the lowborn. God can take the despised. You know, Jeremy, if you read the story of David's mighty men, that's a description
that's
of
them. That's who they were, yeah.
When David started, the people that came to him, the people that were drawn to David,
yeah,
were not the rich.
Right.
They were not the mighty. They were not the, you know, the more than conquerors. They were the despised. They were the nobodies. The Bible said they were discouraged. They were distressed. They were broke. They had no money.
In debt.
You know, I mean, this is a pitiful lot of people that are attracted to David.
Yeah.
But David's mighty men prove what God can do with somebody that will simply yield themselves to him. And that's what I did. I said, God, I'm a nobody. I'm insignificant. So apparently I qualify here. Mm-hmm. And if you can take somebody like that and make a champion out of him, then I'm a candidate.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I started seeing myself the way God saw me.
Yeah.
Made no difference how many times I'd failed in the past. You know, my testimony was that I was a quitter going somewhere to quit.
Yeah.
You know, I'd get under pressure, and my way to confront pressure was just quit, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I came up in the 50s and 60s and you know, started college in 1964, and Vietnam War is going on, and I don't want to go to college, but I don't want to go to Vietnam, you know. I want to work on cars. My dad wants me to get an education, and, you know, after the first semester of college, you know, this is not what I want to do. I want to work on cars. I want to race automobiles. I want to follow in the footsteps of my father. And so I quit school. I quit school 2 weeks before the first semester was up because, you know, there was too much pressure. They were going to give me tests. You know, they were demanding that I study. They had the audacity to make me pass this stuff.
They are, yeah.
Who do they think they are? I'll show them I quit, you know. Well, man, I hadn't been home 2 weeks, and I get a letter, greetings from the United States government, you know, be at the recruiting office next week at such and such time. Well, I don't want to go to Vietnam, so I showed them I got back in college, but I went to a different one that didn't know I was a quitter, you know. And I mean, that was my life. If there was pressure, then my solution to it was quit. Mm. You know, when I started working on automobiles at dealerships, they'd make me mad, you know, do something that I didn't like. I loaded up my tool chest, put it in my truck, and I quit.
Yeah.
Now, I'd have another job before dark, but if they made me mad there, I'd quit, you know.
Wow.
So that was just my lifestyle, was quitting. And then when I read these scriptures, I realized, first of all, I got tired of being a quitter. I got tired of failing. I got tired of just existing. And when I saw that God could take somebody like me, who was a quitter, who was a nobody, who was insignificant, and make a champion out of him, that became my heart's desire.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that has to happen to people, is they have to want a change.
Sure.
You know, if you're still feeling sorry for yourself, if you're still blaming everybody else, then in my mind, you're not desperate enough yet. You've got to want to change. Like somebody said, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know. As we say here in Texas, we get fed up with stuff, you know.
Yeah.
When you finally get to the place in your life where you're fed up with the way you're living, you're fed up with being the tail and not the head, as the Bible says we should be. When you're fed up with just existing, fed up with just living from paycheck to paycheck. People that get fed up, people that get desperate, people that finally realize I don't have to live this way, then they're willing to do whatever they have to do to make that change.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me. It wasn't easy, you know. It wasn't easy changing my mindsets.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't easy becoming a disciplined person when I'd never been a disciplined person. It wasn't easy saying, I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock every morning and spend the first hour of my day in the Word of God before I do anything else. That was not easy. I mean, you know, my first morning of saying that, I set my alarm for 6 o'clock, and I said, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to spend the first hour of my day in the Word. And you know what I did? I got up, grabbed my Bible, went into the guest bedroom, laid across that bed, and an hour later, I woke up. You know, I mean, all I did was change beds, you know. And I'm thinking, and then the devil jumps right in the middle of that and says, yeah, big faith man, you can't even stay awake for an hour, you know. And the condemnation that would come, and you want to quit, and... But that was my old nature, was quitting.
Yeah.
And I come across a verse in the book of John that said, if you continue in my word, then you'll be my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That little word continue
yeah.
got as big as my Bible, And it just jumped off the pages into my heart. And I thought, that's the missing ingredient in my life. I have never continued anything I've ever started. But as of this day, I'm going to learn how to continue.
Yeah.
And I started in the Word, and I continued in it. I demanded out of myself whatever I had to do to spend that quality time in the Word. And once I made that decision to do it and I broke some barriers, then all of a sudden it got to the place where I can't get enough. Mm-hmm. An hour wasn't enough anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I could not get enough. I'm consumed with this. And the great thing was, not only was I becoming more educated about God and His Word, but I'm now discovering the real me, the mm-hmm. person that God sees,
yeah.
and not the person that I had been all those years before.
Yeah.
So what I want to emphasize today is this. It makes no difference what your background is. It makes no difference, you know, how many times you've failed in the past. Makes no difference what kind of mindset you had in the past. No discipline whatsoever. You may have been called a loser all your life. You may have been told all your life, you're never going to amount to anything. But if you're desperate enough to have the kind of life that God says you can have, if that's what you want more than anything else, then I'm telling you, God will jump right in the middle of that decision with you, mm-hmm. and He'll make the champion that yeah. you're called to be.
And you're talking about breaking a lifelong habit
oh, yeah.
of quitting. And
yeah.
that's something I think we need to address, you know. And I think there are people that, and I've dealt with this, I know you have, and I know you have as well. You come face to face with something you're not good at.
Yeah.
You know, and that nobody likes that feeling. Nobody likes to look up and see, well, that guy's good at it and that girl's good at it. Why can't I be good at it? But the scripture is so encouraging. I mean, you go and read what Brother Jerry just read to us out of 1 Corinthians, where it says he's called the foolish. He's called the base. You should hear, I don't know if you've heard Rick Renner talk about it, but he says that word foolish in the Greek is where we get the word moron.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? And
yeah.
that's who he's called.
Yeah.
And he also said something. He brought this out of Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses.
Yeah.
Our weaknesses, our lacks, the things that we've missed in, that's not, those things don't disqualify us.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it's those weaknesses that qualify us for the help of the Holy
yeah.
Ghost.
Yeah.
And so what you're talking about is breaking what may be for some a lifelong habit of quitting. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, verse 16, we don't lose heart.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same chapter where yeah. he said, we're pressed, but we're not crushed.
That's right.
We're persecuted, but yeah. we're not abandoned.
That's right.
Gets all the way down. That's where he talks about having the same spirit of faith. Therefore, we believe, therefore we speak. Gets into verse 16.
Yeah.
We don't lose heart.
No. And if you never press beyond that, you know, then you never stretch. You never grow.
Yeah.
You can't become a champion without challenges.
Yeah.
You don't win big battles without being engaged in big battles.
Yeah.
You don't become victorious without battles. And the thing is, like if all you ever do is just excel in the things that you like, you're comfortable with, you know, I said to both of my granddaughters are straight A students.
Hmm.
I mean, they...
Well, they get it from their grandfather.
No, right? Not quite.
Oh, okay.
they are straight A students, man. They I don't know that they've ever made less than an A in their
wow.
entire school career, you know. And I said, well, girls, I made A's when I was in school. Really, Papa? I said, yeah, in physical education, you know. I mean,
yeah.
if it hadn't been for gym, I'd have never seen an A, you know.
Yeah.
But that was what I was good at. I was an athlete,
yeah.
you know. So I excelled in the things that I liked, I enjoyed.
Yeah.
But you put physics manuals in front of me and biology and English and all of that stuff. I don't like that,
yeah.
man. So I didn't apply myself. Consequently, I didn't grow. I didn't stretch myself,
yeah.
you know. I only learned how to study, really, after I became a Christian, after I got into the Word of God. And after I got into the Word of God, I often wished I had known these things
yeah.
when I was growing up, because I would have applied myself more.
Yeah.
But, you know, If you're always running from a challenge, then you never grow. You never stretch yourself.
Yeah.
The challenges are not sent by God, but He will certainly use them to cause you to come into the stature of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't know, how are you ever going to develop long suffering if every prayer you ever prayed happened instantly?
Yeah.
How would you ever learn anything about perseverance? Is everything that you spoke out of your mouth came to pass instantly. Mm-hmm. How would we ever know anything about the fruit of the Spirit? How would we ever know anything about standing? Mm-hmm. How would we ever know anything about the nature of Christ if we're not experiencing situations that cause us to have to pull and draw on His ability in our life? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah.
Well, over the years, you know, after 40 years of this, I mean, I don't even think like that man that started this journey 40 years ago. I don't talk like him. I don't act like him. I don't live like him. Now this is first nature to me. It's my very life. I don't have to get up in the morning and say, okay, are we going to live by faith today? Are we going to stand today? Are we going to believe God today? This is as common and ordinary to me as breathing, you know, and determining that I am going to be what God says I can be, and I'm going to have what He says I can have. You know, you've heard me say this, Jeremy. My attitude is, if God didn't intend for me to have this kind of life, He shouldn't have put it in my copy of the book. Because once I found it, then it's like a bulldog tenacity, you know. I'm going to have it, regardless of what I have to go through, regardless of how long it takes. If God says we can have it, then we're not giving up until we can have it.
Mm-hmm.
And that can happen to any person, regardless of their background, regardless of their stature in life. If you've been called a nobody, then you qualify to be a champion. If you've been called insignificant, then you qualify to be a champion.
And Paul did a great job, I think, through the Spirit of God, leading him to write some things. I mean, you've got everything from 1 Corinthians talking about the nobodies, and then you've got his personal testimony in Philippians that said, hey, I was everybody. I was a Hebrew among Hebrews and a scholar and this on down the line. And he said, you know what? None of it compared to knowing Jesus.
That's right.
And so your past, the family you were born into or the family you weren't born into, the side of town you grew up on or you didn't grow up on, none of it compares to knowing Christ Jesus, the calling He has in you and on you. I mean, my word, there's a champion on the inside of us. And it may not be the guy or girl you're looking at in the mirror, but you got to look deeper. You got to do what He says. We were just talking about this in 2 Corinthians 4. The ability to see what is unseen.
Yeah.
The ability to see the invisible.
And that's a beautiful thing. This book is like a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's designed to be. Yeah. It's like a mirror. And when you look in this mirror, you don't see what everybody else sees. You don't see what they used to say about you.
Yeah.
You see a reflection of the way God sees you.
Yeah.
And the more time you spend in this book, the more perfected that image will become.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, when you start seeing yourself the way God sees you, Satan is in deep trouble.
Yes, he is. And we are out of time on this broadcast. Don't go anywhere. Stick around. We will be right back.
Times are tough. Circumstances are difficult. Maybe you're discouraged. Perhaps you're facing impossible situations. Right now, you might be feeling like there's no hope. But no matter what you're facing, God sees you as a winner. He has determined a way to help you break through and live victoriously.
When the pressure increases, that simply means you got the devil right where you want him. I mean, you got him by the jugular vein. Now, if you can just stand your ground a little longer, then your breakthrough will come.
Jerry Savelle's new book, Called to Battle, Destined to Win, includes 40 years of sermons and personal experiences that will encourage and inspire you. His insights in the Word will teach you how to succeed and give you a winning strategy to face your everyday challenges. Start building up your faith and walking in victory with Jerry Savelle's book, Called to Battle, Destined to Win. Order your copy of Jerry Savelle's new book, Called to Battle, Destined to Win. Log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This encouraging and insightful compilation of Dr. Savelle's most popular sermons is now available for only $14. To request your copy by phone, call 800-575-4455. Discover the champion in you. Order Called to Battle, Destined to Win today.
Called to Battle and Destined to Win. That's Dr. Jerry Savelle's brand new book, and it's what we've been talking about all this week. God has provided and will continue to provide everything you need to pursue, overtake, and recover what has been lost. And there's answers to that. There are keys to that in this book. Brother Jerry, when you think about the content of this book, who comes to mind? I mean, who can you say should read this because they benefit from it?
I would say anybody that's ever been told in their life, you're a loser. There's no way that you could possibly amount to anything. This is a book that will cause the person who has a poor self-image to begin to see themselves the way God sees them and become the champion that God's called them to be.
That's just it. You are a champion. There is one resident living big on the inside of you. Father, we thank you today for this television and radio audience. I believe, Lord, that that champion on the inside is coming from the inside to the outside. As they hear these things from your word, we are stirred to rise up in the face of adversity and take on any challenge that comes our way because we know that you cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. We want you to visit KCM.org. We have an outstanding website there. That is a tool. KCM.org is a tool for you to use. There are things there that you can search by word or by phrase, by speaker or author. You can search by topic if you're looking for some things on salvation, prayer, health and healing, finances, relationships, prophecies that have come through this ministry and others. There are things there that you can use. Use that as a study tool. Use that as a guide. When you get into the Word and you've got questions, use KCM.org as something to help you through your study time. You can also, on KCM.org, watch or listen to broadcasts or our webcasts. If you've missed anything at all over the course of this week, go back, get online, find out what you've missed, get caught up, and join us again tomorrow. Stay plugged in to what God is doing through this ministry and through the body of Christ all over the world. Thank you so much for watching and being a part of this broadcast. This is Jeremy Pearsons and Jerry Savelle reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or to order a copy of today's product online, visit our website at kcm.org. There you'll find a resource of teaching materials and study tools designed to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. Believe the love God has for you. Walk in the blessing and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life. The glory will shine in 2009. Come to the West Coast Believers Convention June 29th to July 4th at the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, and Keith Moore for 6 days of dynamic teaching from God's Word. Come expecting an encounter with God. Super Kid Academy with Commander Kelly will be held for children ages 6 through 12. Call 1-800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Even though nobody else may see you as a champion and nobody else may think you qualified to be the winner that God's called you to be, He thinks you are. He believes you are. And if you'll dare believe what God says about you, and I want you to know your days of living in defeat are going to be over real soon.